this week, August 26, 2014, on The Digital Story, Silent Shutter. Huge price drop for the Panasonic GX7. Traveling with David Hobby. And I got to get my hands on the Leica 42.5mm f1.2 lens. All of this and more with yours truly, Derek Story, on The Digital Story. Welcome back to The Digital Story. I have a terrific show for you today. We'll start out with the weekly update. Then we'll get into Silent Shutter, and I think you're going to like this segment. There's some interesting stuff in there. We'll go traveling with David Hobby, otherwise known as The Strobist. Very knowledgeable photographer and a terrific teacher. We'll talk a little about the Leica 42.5 f1.2 lens for Micro Four Thirds. Photo Joseph stopped by the studio and let me play with that a bit. And lots of other goodies, so I better get to it here. Let's start out with the weekly update. Cactus releases the V6. The Cactus Wireless Flash Transceiver V6 is the world's first non-TTL wireless trigger that can control power of cross-brand system flashes of Canon, Nikon, and Pentax. You can adjust power levels in small increments for perfect control of light output. And the best part is they sell for $59 each. These little goodies look terrific. If you listen to the podcast much, you know that I use Cowboy Studios out in the field, and they work fantastic. And these are more sophisticated than those. Wireless, they go off radio, so they don't need line of sight. The part that's really interesting is that you can mix and match different brands of flashes on the same system. You can have a Nikon over here and a Canon over there, all being controlled by the same Cactus system. And then you can adjust the output of those flashes in pretty small increments. Really handy if you do off-camera flash. Affordable. They look really slick. And I haven't tested one personally yet, but I'm hearing good things about them. If you're interested in the Cactus V6, I have a link in the show notes. In other news, Panasonic DMC GX7 price drop. Now, this is a biggie. I was really shocked when I discovered this. I just stumbled across it. But the $999 GX7, which is a fantastic Micro Four Thirds camera, is now selling for $697. And that's on Amazon. Of course, I have a link in the show notes. And this camera has, if it's not ringing a bell right now, it's a mid-size Panasonic. So it's smaller than the GH4. And it has a different form factor. It's more like what I'd say is more like a traditional mirrorless body, in the sense that the GH4 looks more like a mini DSLR. It has the pop-up electronic viewfinder that rotates. I believe it rotates 90 degrees, so you can look through it from behind like you normally would, or you can rotate it up and look down into the electronic viewfinder. And then it also has a very nice LCD, and that also swivels up and down. It's a very versatile camera. It has both a focal plane shutter and an electronic shutter. And I'm going to talk more about that in the next segment, because this is a big deal for street shooting and working in churches and things like that. So anyway, big price drop, goes from $999 to $697. That is a pretty good camera at a pretty good price. Something to keep your eye on if you're shopping for a new mirrorless body. And finally, we have a rumor for you. Zeiss will soon announce the Loxia, L-O-X-I-A, lens line for full-frame mirrorless systems, which would be Sony Alpha. This is a story from Petapixel. All are designed by Zeiss itself. So unlike some of the other lenses that Sony is putting on Alpha right now, for example, the 55mm f1.8 FE, that's a Sony product with Zeiss branding. These lenses, the Loxias, will be manufactured by Zeiss. They'll be manual focus prime lenses. They'll have a physical aperture ring. They'll be made of super high quality materials. They sound pretty interesting, actually. Hopefully, we'll hear more about them by Photokina. If you shoot with a full-frame Sony, let's say the A7, this might be interesting to you. Just keep in mind that it's also going to be expensive to you. But you knew that already, right? As soon as I described the lens to you, you knew. And that is this week's weekly update. All right, let's get into the next story here, Silent Shutter. So this is a story that comes out of street shooting, working in quiet environments, such as shooting a wedding ceremony, existing light, stuff of that nature, where you really don't want the clunk clunk of the camera taking the picture. Now, most cameras that enthusiasts use have a mechanical shutter. All of my Olympus cameras have a mechanical shutter. And that's why even when you turn off the beeps and so forth, you still have a shutter sound. So even though these cameras don't have a mirror anymore, flapping up and down, they still have a shutter. They still have a mechanical shutter, and that creates a certain amount of noise. However, there are a couple of other types of shutters that are available. One is electronic shutter, and the other is a leaf shutter that provide a much quieter exposure when you're taking pictures. And this comes in very handy when you're street shooting, when you're working in a quiet environment, suddenly your camera sounds like it's 100 decibels, situations like that. So I want to talk a little bit about a few of these cameras and kind of give you a feel for what they do and when you might use them. The first one I want to talk about is kind of a segue from the previous story from the weekly update, which is the Panasonic GX7. I included it in this list, even though the GM and the GH4 also have electronic shutters. And that's kind of the thing here with this GX7. It has both the focal plane and the electronic shutter. So if you go into silent mode with it, and there's an actual silent mode, a number of things happen. One, it switches to electronic shutter, it turns off the focus assist light. It turns off any focusing beeps. The flash won't pop up. So when you're in silent mode, the camera works absolutely silently. And again, let's say you're shooting a ceremony in a very quiet church, as some ceremonies can be during weddings or other ceremonies, and you don't want to have any sound at all coming from you, then this is a great camera, right? It shoots fantastic in low light. Bright lenses are available, and it has the electronic shutter. And as I mentioned, the other Panasonic, the GH4, and the GM1, the real small one, also can go into silent mode. And I know this because I tested them this morning. Photo Joseph and I, we had the cameras out and we tested them and we put them all in silent mode and they worked great. Now, the camera that I use for this is the Fujifilm X20. And both the X20 and the X100S, they're very popular with street photographers. And a big reason why is that they have leaf shutters. And these shutters are also virtually silent. They also have a silent mode. It turns off the shutter noise, right? Because the shutter noise on these cameras is actually a simulation. It turns off the focus assist light. It turns off any beeps, a focus confirmation. Make sure that on the X20 that the flash won't go up. It does all this stuff. And it's really cool. The thing that I like about the X20 is that all you have to do is press and hold the display button on the back of the camera, and it will switch it from regular shooting mode into silent shooting mode. You don't have to go into the menus. You don't have to do any fooling around. You don't have to use one of your function buttons for this. You just press and hold the display button. You'll get a little notice on the LCD screen that is now in silent mode, and then you can just take pictures in the quietest of environments, and no one will hear you. And this is really handy. And I tell you, when I street shoot, I don't like to sneak shots. And what I mean by that is like pretend like I haven't taken a shot if someone looks at me. You know, I'll say, yeah, I just got this great shot. I'll just make eye contact and let the chips fall where they will. But a lot of times I don't want people to know up front that I'm taking their photo, because they'll stop doing what's interesting to me, and then they'll either pose, or they'll shy away, or they'll frown, or they'll smile, or they'll give me a peace sign, or they'll do any number of things, most of them of which I do not want. So I like to get the shot first, and then if there's any human interaction to deal with afterwards, that's fine. Let the chips fall where they will. But at least I have a shot, and if I get to keep it, if you know they seem cool about me doing this, then I have the shot that I want. And silent shutter really helps with this, because people don't hear you taking pictures. And that little, everyone knows those little sounds, the little sounds of the beep, the focus confirmation, and all that sort of stuff. So that is one situation that comes really handy. Another situation, and I was just reminded of this when I was traveling in Europe, in that we were in there in one of these big churches that are just beautiful. They just blow you away. But, and I know you've done this, where you walk into one of these churches that are hundreds of years old. It is quiet in there, and it is sacred. It feels sacred. The whole thing just feels like you're definitely in the house of God. And it's interesting, if you've ever been in there, and then someone has their camera like making beeps and grinding noises and all that, that is disruptive. And I won't say that it's disrespectful, but it does feel a little disrespectful while you're in there, because you're trying to get into the moment and you keep hearing this beep, shh, beep, shh. And you're going, come on, really? How many pictures are you going to take? Isn't that what you start thinking? How many pictures are you going to take? Now, if your camera has silent mode, then you can be in the church. You can be taking pictures. You can take 1,000 pictures and no one will care. You're not annoying anyone. You're not bothering anyone. You're just doing your thing and you're being a good church citizen at the same time. And of course, this applies to all sorts of ceremonies and things like that, where you also, maybe you're even invited or hired to be working there. But just because you're hired to be shooting doesn't mean they want you to be annoying. And there are certain moments, I'll tell you, when it's really quiet, any noise, a cough, a sneeze, dropping something on the floor, or a camera shutter or a focusing beep, just sounds loud, just plain old loud. So both the X20 and the X100S, they have leaf shutters, and they allow you to go right into silent mode, and then you can pop right out of silent mode, you know, once you're back outside and you got street noise and all that kind of stuff, and nobody cares, and you actually kind of want to hear the shutter. Now, another camera that has a mute button is my Canon PowerShot S110. And I checked a couple other Canon PowerShots. I checked the N also. And it also had a mute button. And it was actually pretty good. The mute button is in the menu system. And it turns off the shutter noise. And then in a separate menu item, you can turn off the autofocus beep. And then you can just take pictures. And it isn't dead silent like the GH7 or the X20 or the X100S, but it's really low. And in fact, if anyone's making any noise at all, just even, you know, quiet talking or something like that, you're not going to hear the camera. You're not going to hear the camera. And, you know, obviously you can get, for instance, the PowerShot S110, you can get it for, I don't know, about $224 right now. I have links, by the way, to all these cameras in the show notes. You can get it for about $224 Whereas the X20 is going to cost you about $495 right now. The 100S is about $1,200. And the GX7, as I mentioned earlier, is available now for about $700, which is, you know, a really terrific deal. That's not bad at all, but it's still $700. So if you need a quiet camera, and it doesn't have to be dead quiet, then, you know, something like the PowerShot S110 might get the job done for you. Now, another thing to keep in mind is that your mobile phone, your iPhone, for example, or your tablet, such as the iPad, they use electronic shutters also. So if you turn off the sound on them, you can take pictures quietly. The only thing that I'll say that's a little different about them is that even though they're quiet, we have a certain way that we hold, let's say, the iPhone for photography that's really a giveaway that you're taking shots. So even though it's not making noise, you still look like you're taking a picture. Whereas, you know, when you're playing around, let's say with a GX7, you can flip the screen up. You're like looking down, like you're reviewing pictures or something, and you can be taking shots. And even with the fixed LCD back screens, like on the X20, X100S, you can still see them from different viewing angles. You can use your thumb to take the picture, all this sort of stuff. So they don't feel as much like you're taking photos as the way that we tend to hold our mobile phones. That being said, though, they do have very quiet shutters so that you have a silent shutter camera probably in your pocket right now. Just something to keep in mind as you're thinking about these situations where you might want to work quietly. So I have links to all the cameras in the show notes. It's something that once it's on your radar, shooting quietly, and you know, you think about, wow, you know, when I was doing this or that, I probably should have turned off the beeps and things. You know, you might actually go, look back at some of your earlier experiences and go, I should have handled that differently. But moving forward now that it's on your radar, even if you don't have a silent shutter, you can at least turn off the beeping noise. You can quiet the camera as much as possible, you know, based on whatever controls it has. And then if you do have one of these cameras that has electronic shutter or a leaf shutter, you can go super quiet. And if you do a lot of this stuff in these environments, then you might want to consider adding one of these cameras to your repertoire. And keep in mind that we're probably going to see an X30 at Photokina. So that'll mean a couple things. One, the price for the X20 will probably come down a bit more. It started out at $599. It's now $499. If the X30 comes out, it'll probably go down a bit more. The X30 most likely will come out at $599, but it'll have new features. So you'll have, you know, a couple choices there. But as you review the specs for these cameras, if you're thinking along these lines, keep in mind, you know, you want to look at how the shutter is handled. Is there a silent mode? And is this something that will work for you when you want to be the stealth photographer, or at least you don't want to be annoying other people? Okay, let's stroll over to the screening room and grab a seat. Today's presentation is by David Hobby, otherwise known as the Strobist. And the title that I'm featuring, I really like this title a lot, The Traveling Photographer, Fundamentals with David Hobby. Now, David will probably surprise you with his approach to this title. First of all, the movie that you get to watch is a nice beefy movie. It runs, about 3.5 minutes or so, and really contains a lot of information. And David really lays it out for you. And in fact, even if you just watch that movie, you're going to learn a lot. But basically what he says is that being effective at traveling and being a photographer, you know, which I think is really different than being a travel photographer. And he doesn't say a travel photographer. He says a traveling photographer, which is really someone who has a camera and has a plane ticket. That the approach that you take has a lot to do with not only the kind of pictures that you get, but the experiences that you have while traveling. And he talks about situations that I've mentioned on this podcast before, where you're traveling with family, you're traveling with friends, you're traveling by yourself, you're in all these different situations. Is photography going to dominate your mind the whole time that you're on the road? Is it a balanced part of the adventure? How does it all fit in? And what are the things that you can do beforehand, before you ever get on the plane or ever get in the car, that can make that experience better and have you get better photographs? Very interesting stuff. He's really thought this out. And of course, you know, this is a man who was a photojournalist, a working photojournalist for a newspaper for a long time. He knows a bit about traveling with a camera, and I think you'll like it. You can watch David in action by visiting the TDS screening room at lynda.com/thedigitalstory. And while you're there, you can start your 7-day free trial to watch other design, photography, and computing titles, plus every other topic that's in the library. But I highly recommend this week's pick, The Traveling Photographer Fundamentals with David Hobby. It's a good one, and David does a great job. Okay, story number 4. So this is about this very fast Leica 42.5mm lens. It's the F12. It was announced a while back, not that long. I think it was this year that it came out. It's a $1,600 lens. Panasonic and Leica, it's co-branded. It's super fast. It's beautifully made. It has image stabilization. It has optical image stabilization, as Panasonic lenses do, because they don't have the in-body stabilization. It has an aperture ring at the end of the barrel, near the front, which is very interesting. Now, the aperture ring only works for Panasonic cameras. For Olympus cameras, which I shot with for this lens, you just leave it on A for auto, because the Olympus firmware doesn't recognize the aperture control on the lens. But if you have Panasonic camera, if you go in aperture priority mode, you can use the aperture ring instead of the electronic controls on the camera. Kind of a nice touch. But the thing that's really interesting about it is that if you shoot at f1.2, which I did, I actually took a portrait of Joseph this morning outside the studio with the lens at f1.2, just so we could demonstrate how wonderfully soft the background gets and how, you know, nice and sharp he was. It's really a heck of a lens. So it translates to basically an 85 millimeter lens. That's the way it would look looking through it. If you had an 85 millimeter lens on a full frame camera, it feels like that, but yet you can drop the background out. And as we know, you know, this is kind of an issue with the smaller sensor cameras. It's harder to drop the background out than it is with a full frame camera. This 42.5, it can drop the background out quite nicely. So it's a beautiful lens and a nice big optic. It has a metal lens hood that looks terrific. It looks very much like the metal lens hood I have for the 75mm f1.8 for the Olympus. It looks very much like that. I personally am not going to invest in one, because I do have the Olympus 75mm f1.8 that produces very nice soft backgrounds also. I got that lens for $898. I love it. It has the same feel. It doesn't have the Leica name on it. I don't need the Leica name, but it's a terrific lens. But if I didn't have that lens, then, you know, it would be an interesting choice between this Leica 42.5 and the Olympus 75 f1.8. But if you need a soft background for your portraits, or those situations where you need to drop out the background, I would say this lens, the Leica, and the Olympus 75mm are the two lenses that can do that for Micro Four Thirds. They're both pricey, $898 and $1,600. You know, you're paying for professional quality, but they are a joy to use. And if you ever get a chance to get your hands on one, I highly recommend it. So we have a few Sizzle Picks winners. I mentioned this last week, but I just want to say it again in case any of the winners missed last week's show. So we have 1, 2, 3, 4 winners right here. I just want to mention them real quick, and then we'll get to the Virtual Camera Club news. So Michael Hoffman for HDR, John Dilworth for Flower Power, Victor Herman for Around the House, and Richard Messenger for Any Kind of Light But Natural. They are our recent class of Sizzle Picks Pick of the Month winners. Congratulations to all four of you. A couple of you have already contacted me, and I put you in touch with Don, Mr. Sizzle Picks Sherman, to get your free Sizzle Picks. And those of you that haven't contacted me yet, hopefully you'll hear this podcast and you'll drop me a line at Derek@thedigitalstory.com. All right, let's get to a little Virtual Camera Club news. I want to start out with Red River Paper this week. They just released a Luster Card Duel. And actually, I think this is a re-release of the Surface. It's a double-sided luster paper. It's pre-scored for cards. It has a nice weight. And it's related to Arctic Polar Luster. So if you use that Surface, you'll have a feel for what this is like. But the Surface is even more pearlescent. So if you like that, and I love luster stocks myself. I think a lot of images look really nice on them. So this is new. I have a link if you want to go directly to the catalog page on Red River Paper. So I'll put the link in the show notes. But if you're just kind of trying to remember it, it's the Luster Card Duel. It's back. It's a really nice paper offered by Red River Paper. The Sizzle Pick Challenge is back, and we're getting near the end of it. It's only for the month of August. But each week, the first 10 Digital Story listeners to order Sizzle Picks from their own favorite image will receive a mini sample about 5 inches by 7 inches of their image, and they'll receive that before the big Sizzle Picks comes. And the idea is you can look at the sample and go, wow, that looks really nice, and then go ahead and give the okay to finish off the order so that you get your big one after that. If for some reason you decide you don't want to finish off the order, you can still keep the free 5x7 sample of the Sizzle Picks. And that's why they call it a challenge. They're just saying, hey, yeah, we'll send you what's going to look like and let you decide from there. So all you got to do in order to participate is, first of all, place your order this month, August, and put in the comments field, free sample first, and your mailing address. And that's in the new Sizzle Picks simplified order form. And they will send you the sample out first and let you review it. The Sizzle Picks challenge is for this month only. If you want to participate, you better do something pretty soon here. And speaking of Sizzle Picks, who sponsored the photo assignment, the photo assignment for August is my favorite close-up. And if you haven't done so already, please post a review for the Digital Story podcast in iTunes. I like to keep those fresh. And finally, if you're ordering through B&H or Amazon, please click on the respective ad tile under the products header halfway down the second column on the Digital Story. By doing so, it doesn't make any difference what page on B&H it takes you to or what page on Amazon it takes you to. Then just go ahead and search for what you want. But then that helps, when you place your order, that helps support the site. And we need all the help we can get. All right, that's going to do it for me this week. I hope you enjoyed the show. Interesting stuff about Silent Shutter, isn't it? I mean, once you're really thinking about it, it becomes a factor in certain situations. So I hope this kind of gets the gears turning for you quietly. And then be sure to come back next week. I've got lots of great stories I'm working on. Until then, have a fantastic week and take lots of pictures. Bye-bye now.